Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to the next edition of WP Coffee Talk. I am here with one of my new friends that I met through Twitter, Ryan Welcher. How are you doing tonight, Ryan?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
Awesome. I see you're drinking something hot because I saw the steam come out of whatever you're pouring. Yes. So I told them your name. Why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I've been a web developer for about 15 years now. I work at a company called TedUp. I'm a lead web engineer there. And we build enterprise level themes and plugins for some really cool clients. We get to do some really awesome cutting edge stuff in WordPress and try to create some finely crafted tools for publishers.
That's fantastic. Where are you located?
I am in Canada, actually. I'm about 2 hours north of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in a town called Bracebridge that is known as Cottage Country up here. So it's all lakes and trees. Cool.
You're like my fifth or sixth Canadian on the show. So
Wow.
I think WP Coffee Talk's going to go big in Canada. I'm not really sure. But
it's going to blow up.
So I always ask people, show me your mug, and you have two of them, you said.
I have two mugs, yes.
Show me your mugs, plural.
I just poured this, so now you can see it, so the effect is ruined, but it is a Bob Ross color change mug, which I think is hilarious. So I got that one. My other one is probably my actual real favorite mug. This is a mug that was from our every year TenUp does a all-hand summit, so we go somewhere in the world, and we went to Jackson Hole last year, and it was a great time, and this is the mug from that. So it's
a nice big one.
Cool. Yeah, it's very cool.
Looks like you could make soup and ramen and everything in that.
You can drink so much coffee that you can start to hear color. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. And what's in your mug today? Just hot water? Are you making tea, coffee?
Well, it's an actual coffee. I'm making an actual coffee today. So
very good.
Late for me, but why not, you know?
There you go. Well, I have my mug today. This is the first time this one's been on the show. This is from the Warner School at the University of Rochester. I am all but dissertation there, and then I stopped working there and started working in WordPress, but I did a lot of graduate work and a PhD work at that school, and I have the mug to prove it. Not the diploma, but the mug. And I, too, am drinking coffee, cream, and sugar tonight. So we're both going to be buzzed. And, like, you could text me at 2 in the morning and say, this is your fault.
I drink coffee almost all day. I'm trying to cut back. I used to drink way too much in my younger years. But
I hear you.
be a bit more conscientious about it. So
I love when people say their younger years to me because you're all young to me. I think I'm one of the oldest people I know in WordPress.
I have a baby face, so
there you go. Well, I turned 50 last fall, so I don't think you're that old.
Am 40.
There you go. So I got a few years on you still. So tell us, how did you get started in WordPress?
Like I said, I've been a web developer since the Flash era. That's actually when I started. That was one of the first code I ever really learned to write was ActionScript 2.0. And so I had my own sort of freelance business. I think everyone does when they get started. And my first, the first time I ever saw where WordPress did anything with WordPress was our client site, and they wanted to integrate with it. And at the time, I was like, what is this stupid WordPress thing? This is dumb. We don't need that. But so we figured it all out, and then we got it working. And then fast forward a couple more years, I was working for a guy up here that created TV shows. I don't know if you know Survivor Man. I used to do some of his web stuff, and he had a WordPress site, and that was when I really got into it and started to really doing work on the site, building out new features, and really start to understand how WordPress worked. And I kind of fell in love with it and been working with it almost exclusively since, really. So.
Yeah, it goes from, that's for blogging, to, oh my God, you know how much I can do with this?
Well, yeah, I definitely had that approach. Like, I think a lot of developers go through the I can do that. I don't need to get someone else's tool to do what I know I can do. And then it quickly becomes, but if it costs, if I'm charging a client $1,000 and I put 1,000 hours into a custom CMS, I'm not making very good return on my investment there. So I quickly pivoted from, you know, I'm working forever and making pennies to like, oh, look, I spun up a site in 5 minutes. And, you know, now I can focus on the features that, the client wants as opposed to figuring out, you know, why the admin has a bug in it that's completely unrelated to the bug or sort of the project that you're working on.
One of the nice things too is that there's so many YouTube videos and classes that if a client does want to manage any of their own site, they don't have to ask you to do every part of it.
Yeah. And I think we try to do a lot of that at Tenup where we build tools for the client to use, not tools that they have to call us to add a feature to. I mean, if you're going to add a new feature, that's one thing, but you know, the idea is to be able to, and WordPress is really good at this and being extended to add new tools that you don't need a developer to make a change. Right. I think that's part of why it's powering what, like 30% of the internet now. So
yeah, I think it's up to 33% now. It's really
there we go.
Amazing, growing amazingly. That's right. When you look at websites that other people have built, let's you know, specifically people building sites for themselves. Let's not pick on other agencies necessarily.
Oh yeah.
But what is something that you think that people skip too often and need to focus on more to make sites better?
I think they get plugin happy and so they install a bunch of stuff. They try out a bunch of plugins. They probably leave them installed. So there's some security issues with that. There's definitely some sort of performance stuff depending on, you know, if everyone's got 10 slideshow plugins, your site's going to be slow. I think people don't, this isn't the fault of the consumer, I think. I think some of these plugins don't maybe take the steps to be really performant and be really fast, and you know, so they make your site slow. And then people say, well, WordPress is slow. I say, well, not really. You know, this maybe poorly crafted plugin is the reason that everything is slow. So I think there's that. I think SEO is also something that people, they probably go and install the Yoast plugin, but maybe they don't set it up. They don't really get into the details of how to make that really work for them. But yeah, I think that's probably it.
Yeah. I built a website for my church years ago and I gave other people access to use it since I wasn't making any money on it anyway. Let's have other people help me manage it. And one of the people decided that we needed to have a weather plugin on the site. Mm-hmm. So they tried about 6 of them before they settled on one. And I looked at the site one day, I was like, okay, number one, there's 6 weather apps on here. Let's get rid of the ones we're not using. Number two, it's a church. People who come to our church live here. They know what the weather is.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good point. It's completely unnecessary.
I think there's a lot of like feature, like the sort of bright lights and shiny object syndrome where like, oh, I can put a thing on there that does, you know, it's cool, but it doesn't have any bearing on what you're trying to do. And yeah, I think that's a very good point, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes. And it is. It's usually the new users that are like, oh, there's a plugin directory. Well, what can we do with that? For sure. Mm-hmm. I love every time you take a sip, I'm like, there goes Bob Ross. I like that. But you know, if he only knew how popular he was gonna be postmortem, right?
Did you know that he was a drill sergeant in the Air Force?
I recently read that, actually. I'm sure he had a much shorter hairstyle back then.
Yeah, I thought I read this somewhere that after that he decided, like his demeanor is so not that, right? He doesn't yell at anybody. And I think, I remember reading that after he got out of the Air Force, I think it's the Air Force, so if I'm wrong, correct me, but...
the military, let's just say military.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to be that person and he didn't want to yell anymore. So that's why his demeanor was so soft-spoken and like friendly.
It's almost like hearing that, like, Mr. Rogers was a drill sergeant or something when you hear the
podcast. Yeah, exactly. Those two things don't work together.
It's very juxtaposed, right? For sure.
For sure.
When, let's see, what's something that you wish you'd known when you started in WordPress that you've learned since then that might have made your job a little easier back then?
Oh, that's a good question.
They're all good questions.
Like technically speaking or just in general?
Anything.
I think that I didn't realize how, for the most part, how open and friendly and helpful the community is. Because when I first started getting into WordPress, I go to blogs and whatnot, but I had no idea that there was like Slack channel and well, it probably wasn't Slack channel then. And that people were actually quite open and willing to help and answer problems and point you in the right direction. I still use that today, like talking, like, you know, I'm constantly pinging people in the course Slack about, like, I'm having an issue with this, or I don't understand what this means, or you know bouncing ideas off people that maybe know that section of the code a little better than I do. And it's invaluable, I think, you know.
It can become addictive almost.
It can.
It's like every time that little light lights up, I'm like, ooh, oh, a notification. No.
Oh, what's that? Yeah. I think part of it too is there's a little bit of, like, fear of being discovered as a newbie. And I know in some communities that can be crippling, because some other communities can be very sort of
exclusive.
Yeah, and not as welcoming to sort of the people that are trying to learn, right? And I found that WordPress has been nothing but welcoming and friendly and helpful. Even, like, you know, you have conversations with like Helen, like in Slack, you know, and she will answer you. Not all the time, if she has time, and that goes with everyone. I'm certainly not telling everyone who's listening to go and ping Helen on the Slack. She'll kill me for that, but. But everyone is really open and sort of available as long as it suits their time zones and stuff like that. You know, sure, everyone's very absolutely. Much willing to help. So,
yeah. And they'll at least get back to you as soon as they can.
Yeah.
If not immediately, which is also nice about Slack, is it's not an email that you forgot you sent. It's kind of still just sitting there.
Yeah, exactly.
Too, which is nice. Like, ongoing conversations. When you think back to the WordCamps and meetups that you've been to, whether it was as an attendee or whether it was as a speaker, what is a moment or two that kind of really stands out to you as pivotal or inspiring to you about WordPress or in the WordPress community?
Well, I think the most pivotal was WordCamp Ottawa, and that would have been 2014, maybe 2014, when actually I met Taylor Lovett, who's the director of director of engineering now. Oh, I'm probably getting his title wrong. He's and he was speaking there, and he invited me to apply to 10UP, and then now I work for 10UP, and things have changed immensely for me. So that was a big one. I spoke at WordCamp Toronto one time on getting started contributing to WordPress Core, and I thought that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing that. I remember the first time I went to any meetup or any sort of thing. Like, I live in a small town. I try to organize a local meetup, but there's about six of us, and it doesn't really work out. So the first one I ever went to, I thought it was amazing, because we had, you know, a room full of people all talking about the same thing. There was a person presenting, and then there was the happiness bar section where they kind of, you know, people ask for help, and you can talk, you know, WordPress with other folks. And I just thought that was so awesome. Just the ability to sit down and, like, answer a question or ask a question and just have a conversation with like-minded folks, which is great.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It was WordCamp Ottawa 2017 that I met Jason Knill from Give, and I now work for Give. So nice. WordCamp Ottawa has a
Well, it's all about networking, right? It's like the community's big, but it's not that big. I mean, you know, a lot of people know a lot of people, and, you know, there's a lot of common friendships and whatnot. So, yeah.
And it sounds like you and I have been to some of the same camps and at the same time too, because I've been to several Torontos, Ottawa's, Montreal. I'm going to WordCamp Montreal next month. I'll be in Ottawa this weekend.
I'd like to. I haven't gone to one in a while, just because of where we are. The closest one was Hamilton, and this year I couldn't make it because it was actually my birthday. So we were doing.
Oh, well, happy birthday! I spoke there for you.
Oh, great!
On your birthday, so we got it covered.
I've been wanting to speak there because it's not that far away, and. I know a few of the folks from there, so be good. Hopefully I can get on the speaking tour again, but we'll see.
That'd be great. So tell us a little bit more about what you do at 10UP.
Well, I I'm a lead web engineer. I guess you could say I'm more of a back-end engineer than a front-end engineer, although the lines are very much blurring by the day. I spend most of my time in PHP. But I'm doing a lot more React stuff now. We're doing a lot of really cool things with that. I'm not really sure what else, I can't really talk about a lot of much client work. It's a great place to work. The culture is great. Everyone is super friendly. Some of the smartest and most talented people I've ever worked with in my entire career. I mean, if you want to come and work at a place where you're guaranteed to learn something every day, come check out 10up.com/careers. There's my plug. And you get once a year, like I said, we go on a fun retreat where we all get to go meet, you know, see each other in real life and do some conferencing style things and then do some more team building fun activities. And
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you say working with React, does that have a, I'm not familiar with it very much, to be honest, but I understand that has a lot to do with the block editor as well. Is that correct?
It does. Yeah. So Gutenberg or the block editor is basically written in React, sort of a bit of an abstraction layer on top of it. But so knowing React is definitely helpful when you're working with it. You don't need to know it to work with the APIs and everything that have been exposed and are available, but creating custom blocks, creating custom controls and working with, some of those things really, really does help to have a bit of React experience. So you at least understand the concepts of what you're doing if you're not writing exactly, you know, straight up mm-hmm. React code.
I've been learning more about working with the blocks and the block editor. I work for Give, and Give now has blocks for our customers as well to use. And it's really interesting. It's like I was likening the change to using the block editor, similar, although on a grander scale, of course, to when they would change the way that Facebook looked. Everybody was up in arms because it wasn't the right color and I didn't want it laid out that way. And my response was, look, it's free. You get to use it as much as you want and continue to, you know, use it. But you can't always complain when something's free. You can't always complain that something's, you know, cost money either, because you buy it or you don't. Mm-hmm. But what's really cool about the block editor, okay, first of all, I'm working with teams that are doing WordCamps. So I mentor WordCamps and I'm on the US team this year. And if you're going to build a website for one of the camps or work within it, you have to learn to work within blocks. So it's kind of forced me into that learning curve.
Right.
What's really interesting is that people who are just now picking up WordPress and learning from it are becoming native users of the block editor. And those of us who were teaching WordPress and using it before are like, okay, show me how you did that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like Gutenberg for me as a developer has been a major paradigm shift, like major, like for 15 years, we've had the classic editor experience and WordPress developers know it inside out and backwards. They know what we can do, what we can't do, what we can extend, how we can add things. And then with Gutenberg, that all changed. Like you can't just go and put something where you want it to go anymore. There's just not the extension points. They're getting there. I'm actually, at the end of this week, there's the JavaScript for WordPress conference that Zach Gordon puts on. And I'm actually speaking on slot fill, which is a way of extending things in the Gutenberg editor. It was a very new concept to me. So I had to do a whole ton of research just for 10up because our UX designers were saying, can we put this thing here? How can we customize this? And my answer was, I don't know, because it's all changed now. So we did a lot of research into that. So there's not only like people who are just coming into it, like to your point, are probably just fine. It's the folks that have been using one thing for so long and trying to switch and change that mindset. Cause it's not only a mindset of like the WYSIWYG, tiny MCE editor versus blocks. It's also like a whole shift in the way you think about your content. Like the whole meta box versus not meta box things. Like it used to be in WordPress, if you wanted to add a custom field that output, like an author quote, I just made this up. You had to put in a little meta box somewhere in the admin. You let them type that in and then you hit save. Well, now you could just build a block that would allow them to do that. In fact, you wouldn't even need a block because you could just use a paragraph block for that or some quote block, it's very much a different way of thinking for both users and developers as well. But it's a fun time to get into WordPress because you don't have any of that sort of like institutional knowledge behind you that's fighting everything else that you want to do.
Yeah. And I'm finding when I'm using it that I'm making mistakes, but that's what you do when you learn something, right? And then I'm able to fix them. So
that's what the undo button's for, right? Like you're not making critical mistakes. You just start over or don't hit publish, whatever it is, right?
Exactly. That save draft is a great button.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
It's not live yet. That's definitely a good thing. So I know this question is coming up in a little while, but I'm going to ask it now because, mm-hmm. first of all, it's how that you and I started connecting. And secondly, I think you could talk a little bit about, you know, how you came to be involved with it. But your proudest WordPress moment was something that you responded to my Twitter account. So tell mm-hmm. us about your proudest WordPress moment and give us a little more in-depth sure. story than most people do about theirs.
Okay, yeah. So my proudest moment was when I became a noteworthy contributor to WordPress 5.2, I think is the latest version right now. And what that means is so if you go in the credits section, you have all, like, Matt Mullenweg's up there and all the lead developers. Then you have another list where you get your little gravatar icon. That means you contributed a little bit more than the people down below. So for me, it meant so much to me because I have been, like, since starting working with WordPress, I knew that it was open source, and I said to myself, I would love to be able to one day contribute anything back to this. And sort of it's been a long road, but I finally kind of got there. I mean, so I was super, super excited to be honored with that. I mean, it was just about the amount of commits, the amount of work, and the amount of time and effort that you put into it. So, I mean, anyone can do it. It's just a matter of learning how to contribute and getting sort of your work in there and just adding tickets and, you know, and trying to work towards it. I know for some people, contributing can be very frustrating. It can feel like things kind of get lost and they don't get responded to and whatnot. And I'd say that it can be very much the case. It was the case for me, but once you just kind of have to get a bit more involved, like go to the Slack channels, attend the weekly dev meetings, because there's always an open floor. And at that time you can drop any ticket you want and the people who have commit access and the component maintainers and people that have a bit of, clout to move things around will get eyes on that ticket and help you move it forward. So that's definitely something that can help, because everyone wants to move tickets forward. It's just, there's a lot of them, and sometimes the focus for a release is not on that thing that you may want to get fixed or added. And so it kind of gets lost in the shuffle until the next release or whatever. So, Does that answer your question? I feel like I kind of went off on a bit of a tangent there, but
no, it's perfect. It's perfect. I contribute to the marketing team.
Oh, great.
Because I'm not a developer. I don't know code. I mean, I could do a little CSS and HTML, but beyond that, right, I'm not a developer. So so I know what it's like, because every week we have our team meeting as well, and you feel like things just move so slowly sometimes.
Yeah.
And certain projects rise to the top because they need to, and other things go a little more slowly, and sometimes that's just about committee work as well.
Yeah, and I think it's also because it's open source, and because, you know, the majority of people are not paid to, you know, they devote their time to what they want to and things that interest them. So, I mean, you know, there are components in WordPress core that probably have some stuff that need to be addressed, but nobody wants to touch it because it's maybe not something they're interested in, or maybe it's such an old piece of code that they're scared if they touch it, they'll break all of the internet. So, but yeah, and you don't actually have to write code to contribute to core. There's also, there's testing and there's screenshots and there's so many things that you can do just, just to be involved if that's what somebody wanted to do. So
one of the best ways I found to actually get involved is to attend a contributor day, if there's one at the camps that you attend, because it's a great way to kind of get your feet wet and figure out what this is all about.
Absolutely. It's because the hardest, there's a lot that goes into it, especially from a development standpoint. You have you have to get set up, you have to get your tooling in place. You have to, it's good to have someone looking over your shoulder, helping you get past those little roadblocks. Vagrant didn't install on my machine. Now what, these sort of things. And then most contributor days will have like a list of tickets that are sort of like maybe new, like a good first bug, which are usually contained and not necessarily giant rabbit holes of craziness. So at least you feel like you're getting a little bit further ahead. A great place to start is with documentation. If you notice that there's a doc block missing or something like that, that's a pretty minor change. Doesn't affect the code, but it gets you sort of into the in the process and getting more comfortable with dealing with like SVN versus Git, because Core is an SVN, of course. And then I won't even get into Gutenberg, because that's a whole different thing and a whole different set of tools and whole, you know, and it's in Git, not SVN.
And there's 18, I think there's 18 different committees, or that's probably not the right, teams that you can be involved at.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
At any point in time. So we've got the WordPress TV, and we've got, like I said, documentation, and we've got Tide, and we've got...
You've got the meta, but yeah, like there's the people that manage the code that puts together the documentation site, like the Codex site, right, or the handbooks and stuff like that. So there's, you know, there's a lot, and everyone can use a bit of help.
I mean, absolutely.
Some are pretty understaffed. Oh, that's not the right word. They're all doing fantastic work, but they could use a hand, definitely. So.
Exactly. The more hands, the better sometimes, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you were to talk to somebody who's starting to build their site for the first time and they're kind of trying to figure this whole WordPress thing out, what are two or three plugins that you would recommend to somebody who's building their own website?
Probably the Yoast plugin, just because it takes care of the SEO stuff like crazy. Mm-hmm. Depending on what they were doing, TenUp has a whole bunch of really cool plugins. One that we would use for almost everything is the restricted site access plugin. It's a great way of having a website live, but locking it down so people can have to log in to see it. It's great. We use it all the time for staging sites and stuff like that. So it's a really good one for that. There's our plugin distributor, which is really cool, which allows you to ingest and share content across networks. That's a bit more of an advanced thing. We just released one called Classify, which is like machine learning that so it'll scan your content and it'll tag it and it'll actually do image recognition and create alt tags for you automatically.
That's pretty cool.
Some plugins, yeah. Most of mine are going to be developer related, I think, mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, that's probably awesome. Those. Yeah.
I like it. Good. At any point during your WordPress journey, when you started, or any point, you know, since then, have you had a mentor, anybody that took you under your wing?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't until I really joined TenUp, and then I worked with, I still work with Adam Silverstein. He's a core committer. He was my, at the time we had engineering managers. He managed engineers, basically still did engineering stuff. But part of that role was to, help mentor people. And, he's always this kind of, you know, if I have a question, especially about core stuff, he's the one that actually got me my first core prompt. He didn't get me. He helped me get my first core prompts. When I didn't know what I was doing, I asked Adam, he pointed me in the right direction. And since then he's been, he's a super smart guy and super approachable, and has helped me become a better engineer, and definitely helped me in the core stuff. We kind of share that common interest in there. So yeah, I'd say Adam for sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's been others along the way that have helped me out. Tons of people that have helped me out, but Adam has consistently helping me out over the almost 5 years I've been, or 4 years I've been at TenUp. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. So other than Adam, is there somebody in the WordPress community that you admire and why?
Oh, man. Well, there's lots of people. I mean, I think... there's so many people the entire Gutenberg team, like the developers, like Riyadh and Andrew and Greg, are all like, have been so approachable. I mean, I'm sure they get pinged a million times in a day, and every time they've taken the time to talk to me or answer my question or sort of, you know, work with me on something. I can't really think of, Helen. Helen's also been a big influence. Helen, lots of people. Jake, my boss, Jake Goldman.
Shout out to Jake.
Yeah, shout out to Jake. There's lots of people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like to think that it's just people just being cool. And that, you know, and I like to think that I'm accessible as well in that regard. I mean, I'm by no means at the stature of the people that I have mentioned, but, you know, and if people... feel like they need a hand, they're either more than welcome to reach out to me on Slack or Twitter or whatever, and I'll do what I can. So.
Well, that's nice. That's awesome.
Forward, right? Someone did it for me, so you got to do it for someone else, because otherwise,
that's my philosophy. Yep. Yeah. My philosophy as well. That's what I've tried to help other people. Sometimes I even just kind of go into Reddit and look at the WordPress list, and like if nobody's responded to somebody's request for help, I'm like, I'll take a stab at it.
Yeah.
See if I can help out. You know.
I don't connect Reddit with WordPress, but I should. I should. I'll go check. Yeah. I'm always on the Stack Overflow, like the WordPress Stack Overflow.
Yeah.
Trying to answer questions and stuff like that.
Yeah. But Reddit, there's about 5 or 6 different WordPress subreddits, but the main one, the WordPress one, has over 78,000 users in there. Wow. So there's people posting questions all the time, and it's fun to kind of just anonymously help people sometimes.
Yeah, it's not just for cat memes anymore, I guess, right?
It is, although the cat memes in between the WordPress stuff is pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
There you go, yeah. I might have this bit of fun stuff.
Might have posted a cat or two myself over the years, let's just say. What's great. Something that you'd like to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
Well, that's a good question. I'm really trying to become as much of an expert on Gutenberg as I possibly can. For me, and I think for a lot of probably developers, like I don't come from a JavaScript background. I've always thought of my as JavaScript as my JavaScript being subpar. So I'm trying, you know, I've made concerted efforts over my career to get better and better at JavaScript and really understand it. So yeah, definitely knowing more about Gutenberg, really getting into like how it works and understanding a lot more of the low level stuff in there. It's definitely something. I don't think you can ever stop learning. That's one thing about what we do is like, it's always, you know, there's always something new, especially in JavaScript. There's always a new framework. There's always a new tool. There's always a new thing. But I think for me, really getting in deep into Gutenberg, contributing to it more, which will help me. Like I have a couple of commits in Gutenberg, which I'm super proud of. But you know, the more I do that, the more comfortable I'll get with it, the better my JavaScript becomes. And then, you know, maybe one day I'll consider myself more than just a JavaScript noob. So.
You've seen a Zach Gordon has these hats that say deeply. You've seen his deeply hats from about what, 2 or 3 years ago when Matt Mullenweg in the State of the
Web learn JavaScript.
Learn JavaScript deeply.
Yeah.
So there's people wandering around with hats on.
It is very true. It has been a big, I mean, development in general has had this huge paradigm shift towards JavaScript. So, I mean, JavaScript is a hot, like if you're good at JavaScript, you're very employable right now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff to know for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we talked about your proudest moment in WordPress. Tell us about the biggest mistake you've ever made in WordPress and what did you learn from it?
Oh boy. Biggest mistake I ever made in WordPress. I mean, there was the time I wiped a client database by accident.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh, if you had a backup, did you have a backup?
That was not while I was working at 10 Up, Jake. Just for the record. Yes, I had a backup. Thank you. Thank goodness. Biggest mistake. I think it's probably less of one thing. But probably the biggest mistake I used to make was thinking that I could do it all, that I knew enough of everything. Really do what needed to be done. I mean, there was probably not reaching out for help would be, that's kind of a cop out because it's not really one thing I did wrong.
But it's a good point to bring up because there are people who can help for sure.
Yeah. Like one of the things that I really like about working at 10 Up is that, like when I joined 10 Up, I was working for a small agency in Ottawa. I was their senior, their most senior. So by default I had the senior title. And it was sort of, I had to do everything. I did all the front end work, all the back end work. I did all the server stuff. I did everything. Right. So the holes in my knowledge translated into potential issues. But when I go like a 10 up, like when we have something that's going on with the server, I go talk to one of our insanely talented server folks, you know, the systems team who know more than I will ever, they've forgotten more than I'll ever know about it. And that's a good place to be because I'm really good at one thing, or I think I'm really good at one thing, and they're really good at what they do, and I don't need to worry about that because they got me. Like, you know, if if there's a problem, they can address it far faster than I do, because I'll have to go to Google to figure it out. Right? Yeah. So I think not asking for help in the right times was definitely probably my biggest mistake.
I can completely agree with that and understand that for sure. No, I think that's a good point. Let's see. I already asked you about your proudest. If you weren't working in web and web technologies, so take everything digital, electronic, whatever off the table for a second. Mm-hmm. What's another career that you might like to attempt?
I wasn't working in web or web tech. Oh my goodness. Well,
just once, I want to hear somebody say they want to be a zookeeper. You don't have to be the zookeeper.
I've always been intrigued by like psychology and stuff like that. Maybe something in there. I my entire professional career has been media. Like before I was a developer, I was an audio engineer. I used to work on radio and television shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I've been in this sort of like technical digital realm since 2002. And so something completely outside of that. Well, yeah, probably something like that. Maybe
psychology. And, there is a lot of psychology in the front end part of web design, because it's how we motivate people to make decisions on our sites. So,
oh yeah, exactly.
They go together.
And all the UX and design decisions are made, primarily to some psychological base for it.
So. Exactly. There's a book that I recommend to people frequently called Drunk Tank Pink. And, Drunk Tank Pink is all about the psychology of colors and how we make decisions based on the colors that are out there. So that's a kind of a fun one to look at. So
for sure.
Let's see. What's something on your bucket list?
To get my scuba diving license.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. I've never done it.
Where would you go?
A bunch, but where would I go once I had it?
Yeah, because I'm thinking up about you. Everything's cold.
There's a couple of months where you could probably go snorkeling, but at the bottom of the lakes, they'd be pretty cold. Or it's not snorkeling, scuba diving. I'd probably go somewhere like Cuba, or my daughter wants to go to Australia. So we'd probably go to the Great Barrier Reef or something like that. But
That sounds very cool.
It would be to scuba dive somewhere warm with lots of tropical fish. Hopefully a not an abundance of sharks, but.
And a waterproof GoPro so you can show everybody what you saw, exactly. Right? Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So show us or tell us about, I see the look on your face because you're looking at the question already, about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community at large might not know about you. And I do see some, looks like either a bass behind you there.
I can play guitar. I play guitar and a little bit of ukulele. I'm not going to play because... you're recording this, so it'll be forever on tape. I've played since grade 8, so I don't know. I'm going to say
quite a while.
20 years or so. quite a long time. Actually, the 10 Up has at our summit. We have this thing, this band called the Summit Rumors, and it's the first. I think it's the first of its kind in the world. It's a remote. It's a completely distributed band. So we all sign up, we all learn our parts, we go there, we have about an hour for everyone to run through every song, and then we play. And it has been evolving over the last 4 years, and it is a lot of fun.
Are there recordings anywhere?
There are not. There may be some pictures, there might be some pictures on our website. You'll probably see someone on Twitter during the event, but it's...
I think it should be Facebook Live on the page next time.
Yeah, maybe, but it's a lot of fun. And so
that's awesome.
I played a couple of years. I played last year. I didn't play the year before, but yeah, we have a lot of fun doing it. It's a really great thing. So.
Were you going to say a different hidden talent? And I was like, outed your guitaring or?
No, that's what I was thinking. I don't really.
Good.
Yeah, they're all hidden talents. I can play hockey, but I'm Canadian, so that's not hidden. It's almost like
don't you all
your passport and your hockey stick when you get here, so it's not really
the biggest joke in the U.S. is during the Olympic hockey games, right? So whenever the U.S. is playing Olympic hockey, it's really Canadians that are playing the Olympic hockey
most times.
Like 75% of our teams are made up of Canadians.
Yeah, Exactly.
Which is funny. So tell us how we can find you online, your Twitter account, website. Yep.
My website is ryanmelcher.com, where I post sporadically. And I'm on Twitter. It's at Ryan Melcher.
I cracked your code. That was pretty easy. At Ryan Melcher.
Yeah. There's a common theme here. So, but that's pretty much it. I'm not really that active on Facebook or anything really. I'm on Stack Overflow. I think my major name is just Welcher. I'm there and
great.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
We'll post those all in your episode post as well. So if anybody is listening as opposed to watching and didn't find us through the website, they can always go back to the website and find all those links.
Perfect. Oh, and in Slack. In Slack, yes. I'm also Welcher, just Welcher. Feel free to say hi, reach out, DM me if you have questions or something. I can't guarantee your tickets will go anywhere, but I can help you if you need it. So I can try it out.
That's awesome. That's what it's all about, is helping each other out as much as we can.
For sure. For sure.
Sometimes my answer is, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's a valid answer. Totally valid answer. I mean, a lot of times I don't know. I mean, I can't possibly know everything. Right. So
exactly.
No one can. And so you just say, just follow it up with that. Well, I'll see if I can help, or, maybe I can dig it up for you.
One of my favorite questions is, oh, you build websites? Well, there's something wrong with my computer. Can you fix it?
Yeah. Yeah. My printer's broken. You want to come over? Yeah. I'm the family IT. My mom
yeah, me too.
All the time. I always make fun of her. There's this funny story. But when I was in college, she would call me, and because she couldn't remember how to use a like a 3.5-inch floppy disk, because that's how you saved. And so every single time I would take her through it, and she'd write it all down, and she'd forget every time. So every couple of days she'd call me, and she said, I was making fun of her one day and say, well, you know what, I've been trying to teach you how to use this for years. And she goes, yeah, well, you know what, I taught you how to use a fork. So I was like, well, you're right, but I remember how to use a fork. But you're right, Mom.
So the real truth probably is she knew how to do it, but you weren't calling home enough, so she used to call you.
Wanted to call me. Yeah, I never even thought of that. That's I'm on you now, Mom.
Yeah, ask her that at Canadian Thanksgiving this year. See if that's the answer. Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Ryan, for sharing with us today. No problem. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
awesome to have you on the show and meet you.
Yeah, and great to meet you, and I'm looking forward to hearing it again. Yes. I guess
absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We're on YouTube, and we're distributed amongst all the different ways you can listen to podcasts, so we can watch you or we can hear you, and probably sometime next month this will go online, so you'll be able to share it out then, and we'll make sure that we connect your post to TEDUP as well. So we'll make sure we tag them in it. So
perfect,
fantastic. Great. Well, say goodbye to your adoring audience. Until next time.
Bye bye. Thank you.
Bye.